Hello and welcome to Tony Brew Ministries, the old time preaching from God's Word. Here's a sermon entitled, Jesus at the Table of the Pharisee.
Being in the family, well, one of the big things you do is go to the table. Some of us have been to the table too much, I suppose, during all this time that we have to stay at home. You go to the table, and sometimes you have to go to other people's tables. Jesus was no stranger to eating and fellowshipping with people. And he was invited to eat in this particular case in Luke chapter 14. It says that it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day that they watched him. Sometimes when you go to eat with somebody, they'll watch you and see what you're going to do. No wonder we can't eat and enjoy our meal, because we watching them and they watching us. See what each other's going to do. Well, they were watching Jesus. What's he going to do? What's he going to say? When you're someone else's table, you try to use your manners and you try to do the best you can. When you're at home at your table, you're a little more comfortable. But we ought to be comfortable with each other. We're all brothers and sisters in the family of God. And we love each other, whether we're actually sitting at a table or not. We're at the table of the Lord today, fellowshipping around his word. Amen. And the songs of Zion, that help us put a little melody in our heart, lift our burden and lighten our way and brighten our way. And we're just glad to be in the presence of God, sitting at his table at his feet to hear his word and to worship God. Amen. Well, they were watching Jesus. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. The dropsy is an old-fashioned word for edema, swelling. So this gentleman was there, and he had the edema. He was swollen. There are all kind of people who may come around the table. Some of them may not look like us. Some of them may not be the same color that we are. Some of them may speak a different language than we do. Some of them may have a different accent than we do. But they're still people. They're created in the image and likeness of God. And there are people at the table who have different and varying needs. This particular person needed to be healed. Sometimes we find ourselves doing what they were doing. They were watching Jesus, and they were watching this person to see what he was going to do about this situation. When you have someone at a table, whether it's your table or the table near you, that is different than you. Maybe they're blind, maybe they're crippled, maybe they have a contortion or some kind of deformity in some way. You find yourself looking at them and you try not to stare at them and you watch them. But no matter what our condition is, no matter what our need is, Jesus is there to meet that need. Amen. So Jesus answered and spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. They didn't have anything to say. It's amazing when you're put to the test or the question of the truth, you done run your mouth too much, and now when you put to the truth the question, you cannot answer it. I thought they were smart. I thought they knew the law. I thought they were intelligent. But when the master speaks up and says, is it lawful? And Jesus is saying, now I know that I'm at your table. I realize that I'm at your table. But I just want to know, is it lawful for me to do what I want to at your table? Are you going to let me do what I want to at your table? Can I be myself at your table? Do I have to be tied up in here? Do I have to clear my throat because I'm nervous? Do I have to be in a way that is straight and stilted? Can I be myself at your table? Is it lawful for me to do what I want to do? Even though I'm at your table, is it lawful for me to do what I want to do at your table? Lord have mercy. About healing. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And he took him and healed him and let him go. Jesus healed the man. The man wasn't there to get full on steak. The man wasn't there to get full on ham. Well, I know they can't eat no ham. You better not Jews not eat a bunch of ham, you know. But the guy wasn't there to get full on dinner. He was there to get his need met. He was there to be healed. Sometimes we just go to church for the chicken they serve or the iced tea. We go for the bread, we go for the cake, we go for the thrills and the whistles and the frills, and we go for all that, but our need ends up not being met, because the real need of our life is not just another golf club and a chicken leg.
Amen.
But the need of our life is what we need. Are we saved? Are we born again? Are we whole? Do we have the Master as our Lord? Is He the Master at our table?
Amen.
He healed him and let him go. He didn't even stay to finish the dessert. He just got out of there. He was so happy that he was healed. Jesus healed him and let him go. And that's what He does to us. When He comes to the table, He finds us like we are at the table. But when He talks to us, when He teaches us, when He touches us, He may find us in one way at the table, but He does not leave us like He finds us.
Amen.
He healed him and let him go. And He answered them, saying, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him again to these things. He's trying to teach them that a man is a whole lot more important than a donkey or a dog or a cat. If you'll have an ox or an ass that will fall into a pit, and you will pull him out on the Sabbath day, but you don't want me to heal this son of Abraham on the Sabbath day, and you would find fault with that, something I would do at your table. I just want to know, is it all right for me to be myself at your table? I want to know, can I do what I want to do at your table? I want to know, if I want to save you, will you let me? If I want to sanctify you, will you let me? If I want to fill you with the Holy Ghost, will you let me? If I want to heal you, will you let me? If I want to correct you, will you let me? Jesus, now He puts forth this parable to those which were bidden, and how He marked, how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, "When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him, and he that bade thee and him come to thee, say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room." He said, when you're bidden, don't try to take the big seat. He was the only one at the table who really deserved the big seat. He was the master at the table. He deserved to sit at the end of the head of the table. When you sat at the head of the table, then you were somebody. And He was the only one in the room who was really somebody. There were some rich folks in that room. There were some rich Pharisees in that room. But Jesus, the Master, was the only one who was really somebody. He had the right to sit where He wanted to sit and do what He wanted to do, but He didn't try to sit in the big place. Jesus didn't come to this world to be the big dog. He didn't come to this world to be the king. He didn't come as king the first time. He came as Savior, lowly babe in a manger in Bethlehem. Nobody, nobody, nobody cared, the song said. He came. He didn't come to try to overthrow the Roman government. He didn't come to try to win the election. He didn't come to try to straighten the world out. We think that's the church's job, is to straighten the world out and to change the culture. The church's job is not to change the culture. The church's job is to change sinners, and that will take place of changing the culture.
Amen.
If we preach the gospel to every creature and we make disciples of all nations, that will take care of the culture. The culture will take care of itself. God didn't call us into the world to go into our cities and to make our cities cleaner places and environmentally more friendly and say that we've carried out the Great Commission. All we've done is just make the world around us a cleaner place to go to hell from.
Amen.
Lord have mercy, I'm preaching better than y'all letting on. That's all right. We making this world a cleaner place to leave here from, but are we changing lives and hearts?
Amen.
He said, don't go and take the high place. Because if you do, somebody's going to come. The one who invited you is going to come. He and the special guest is going to come and say, excuse me, this here is Mr. Jones. And we need your place. So you're going to get your little mess and your stuff. And you're going to have to move on down. He said, when you are bidden, you know that word bidden? That word means to invite. There was a time in our life when we were glad just to be invited. We came to church, we were glad to be invited. We didn't come to church to find fault with the preacher. We didn't come to church to see how short somebody's dress was. Lord have mercy. We didn't come to church to see who could sing better than who could preach better than who could do this and do that. We were just glad to get in the door.
Amen.
We were glad to be invited. God told David, when you were little in your own eyes, I could do something with you. But when you found out how big you were, or how big you thought you were, then it was hard for me to do anything with you.
Right.
I remember the time when I wasn't a nobody. And the song said, I'm still a nobody, telling everybody about somebody who can save their soul.
Right.
Well, I'm still a nobody in myself, but I'm somebody because I met somebody who's everybody. I met the Lord Jesus Christ, and He made me somebody. He made something out of my life.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm just glad to be invited. There was a time even in the Bible that says if you were blind, if you were maimed, if you had something wrong with you, who in the cotton-picking world don't got something wrong with them? If you had something wrong with you, you were not welcome. You couldn't come into the temple. You couldn't come into the outskirts of the temple because you had something wrong with you. You couldn't bring no sacrifice of a blemish. You had to have a pure sacrifice. There was not but one pure sacrifice, but we did the best they could. They did with the lambs and the goats and all that, but you couldn't bring just any old thing to God. You couldn't come if you were a dwarf. You couldn't come if you were blind, if you were maimed in some way. You didn't have a place in the temple. But the new covenant, glory to God, invites us to the table. The new covenant invites us into the Holy of Holies. When the veil was rent in two from the top to the bottom, now there's no shame. Leave your shame at the door, because it ain't welcome anymore. Glory to God. We have been invited to come and dine with the King. He said, when you're invited, give this man place, He says. And you start with shame to take the low room, but when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. He's going to come and say, what are you doing sitting down here? And you're going to say, well, I just didn't want to interfere with anybody. He's going to say, friend, move on up. Don't move it on up to the east side. Move on up, man. Let's take a higher place. And he'll move you up. If you already get high to start with, you cannot be moved up because you're so high and self-righteous in yourself. You like yourself. Me, myself, and I, three people. But if you're humble, if you start in the low, people don't know how to do that anymore. They don't want to work because you can't go to work. I'm not going to work unless I can make $20 an hour. You don't start out no $20 an hour. Some of us feel like we're too good, and I know we done our duty about working, but kids, grandkids, they ain't gonna work at McDonald's, they ain't gonna work at no hamburger joint. They feel like they're too good for that. If it's throwing a little hash, it ain't too good for that, is it? What's wrong with cleaning a john? If you have to do it, that's work, picking up trash. Most of us are raised, you're not too good to have a little work. A little work ain't gonna hurt you. I know work, W-R-K, that's a four-letter dirty word to a lot of people. Brother sit home on the God Bless America and get the welfare check every month. Then they wonder why the nation's going broke. Whosoever exalted himself shall be abased. If you lift yourself up in yourself, you're going to be put down. Sooner or later, the bottom's going to fall out. The inner tube in your tire is going to bust or burst wherever you're from. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. If you humble yourself, God will mightily exalt you. Then said he also to him that bade him. Now he's talking to the host. How dare you talk to the host? Well, he's the master, remember? He's got a right to talk to the host. When thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors. Don't try to impress nobody, lest they also bid thee again, and the recompense be made to thee. You invited me for hamburger steak, so I got to invite you for T-bone steak. And you try to outdo each other. You try to outdo the Joneses. You try to outdo somebody. He says, don't do that. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. That's those folks that were not welcome in the temple once upon a time. Thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. I'd rather be paid back when Jesus comes than to have a little reward right now.
Amen.
When you make a dinner, when you make a supper, call the outcast. Come to the table. The sidewalk prophet's son. Come, the sinners who have been set free. Take your place beside the Savior. Come to the table. When one of them that sat and meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, when I said that, it didn't mean that much to you, but actually when he said it, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. He actually had a yeast roll in his mouth. Blessed is he that eat bread in the kingdom of God. Boy, you want some of this? Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. This talks about really God dealing with Israel. This could be the whole world, us too, but it's directly speaking to Israel. I don't know if they caught it or not, but he was talking to them. He bade many, he invited many, and he sent the servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, that's the invitation, come, for all things are now ready. And all with one consent began to make excuse. They began to come up with these reasons why they couldn't come to the supper. Just like we use reasons why we can't go to the church house. We can go to McDonald's house. We can go to the Walmart house. We can go to the drugstore house, but we can't come to the God house.
Amen.
First said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Now who's going to buy 20 acres of land and ain't never seen it? Well, that's what he said here. I bought a piece of land and I got to go look at it. You cotton shopper, you better have looked at it before you bought it. So what does that tell you? He was telling a lie. He just didn't want to go. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Well, he lied too. Who's going to buy 10 oxen, 5 yoke of oxen, 10 oxen? I go to prove them. I'm going to try them out. You better have tried them out before you bought them.
Amen.
So he told a lie too. Another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. He had the best excuse of all. What he really meant was, I married a wife and she ain't going to let me go. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly and to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind, those folks that we are embarrassed to be around. That's the ones who you go get. The servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and there's room, there's still room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I want everybody to be welcome at supper time. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. They had their chance to get in on the supper, but they're not going to taste it now because they had an opportunity. That tells me that you cannot just keep on sinning away. You can sin away your day of grace because you'll get to the point where you get too old to respond to God, where you get in the mental shape that you can't respond to God. You'll get to the point that you will go out into eternity suddenly without knowing it, and you will not be able to respond to God. There's all kind of ways that can take you out of here before you're ready.
Amen.
The best thing to do is to be right with God now.
Amen.
Serve God while we have the opportunity now. Jesus, at the table of the Pharisee, he took the opportunity to heal. He took the opportunity to teach. He took the opportunity to correct. And I'm glad I know a Savior like Jesus Christ. He's welcome at my table, and I'm glad that he invited me to his table to come and dine. The Lord says, come and dine, and he invites us today to come into the fellowship of his sainthood and come and dine and have fellowship with him.
Amen.
We don't have to worry about embarrassing him. We don't have to worry about our condition. We have a condition that's wrong, he's able to fix it.
Amen.
He can take what in your life, what's wrong, and make it right.
Amen.
Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be in this place today. Thank you for this word, Luke chapter 14, that encourages our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you have invited us to your table. And Lord, we praise you that this is your house, these are your people, and we come to fellowship and to bless your name. We thank you for the word to encourage us in this perilous time in which we live. We need to come and sit at the Master's table to hear what you got to say. Drink the water of life. Have the Word of God applied to our life. We thank you for what you have done for us. And we thank you for keeping us from the evil that's going on all around us.
Oh, yeah.
Your Word says that you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. While the enemy is raging, the peace and the joy that we have in the temple and in the table of the Lord, we thank you that we sit there with you, and we thank you that you have blessed us today. Lord, I pray that many people would know what it means to know the peace that passes all understanding, and Jesus lives in their heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the old time preaching from God's Word from Luke chapter 14. The title has been Jesus at the Table of the Pharisee. Make sure that Jesus is at your table, that you know him as your Savior. You have made him your Lord. If not, do so today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.